suspicion partly on that which is already known, and partly on what we have just heard.
What part? Come on, Doc, you can't tell me that you got anything out of that.
On the contrary, young Corder, I obtained plenty of information from the lovely Gloria to support my assumption. For instance, she spoke of the Illuminated Ones, of them being illuminated in a manner that suggests they stay underground, something that we already know. Perhaps more importantly, she spoke of them shadowing the old ways in both a literal and figurative sense. Figuratively, the Illuminated Ones wish to set up a system via their central redoubt that will rule the Deathlands in the way that their forebears did before Skydark.
She must be pretty stooped, Dan. Don't notice them ruling anything.
Of course not, my dear boy. Obviously, in the same way that the Gate have lost sight of some things during the ensuing years, then so have the Illuminated Ones. To what degree, we have yet to find out.
Literally, then. Shadowing literally, Doc?
I believe I may have mentioned in passing the ideas of the second center of command, something I heard the White Coats talk of during the time when I was held by them. I wonder if the idea of shadowing literally means that there is an identical center of command hidden somewhere in that area, modeled on the way things were, so that it could smoothly take over the running of the military and economy when things returned to, shall we say, normal.
Nice idea, Doc, but wouldn't it have been blown to shit by the new cost if it was too close to the old DC?
If it was that close, that would be a reasonable assumption. After all, there is little enough there now. But there is still plenty of life around Seattle, as we have found to our detriment in the past. And that is not too far from here. And perhaps, more significantly, it would tie in with what we already know.
You know as well as I do that we're headed that way. Do you really think that we could be within sight of our goal?
I have seen too much, fair queen, experienced more than you would ever wish to know, to prognosticate with confidence. All I can honestly say is that it is possible that we may be nearing a solution to the many puzzles that beset us.
Is that a yes or a no, Ryan?
Don't expect me to understand everything Doc says, Gloria. I've only known him for years. In the morning, JB fixed their position by his mini-sextant and confirmed that their winding path was indeed taking them toward the northwest. It was also becoming more obvious in the changes in the foliage around them. The plains and jungle were merging into one, the trees spreading out, and the vines and creepers the companions had encountered on an earlier trip to the northwest becoming more plentiful. There were also larger and more predatory animals, as became evident in a sudden attack that almost took them off guard. It happened after they'd been traversing a thick patch of jungle for several hours. Ryan and Gloria led the way, hacking a path through a dense patch of foliage, where the trees grew in a stunted and twisted thicket, so that branches overhung and overlapped, cutting out much of the light, but also, mercifully, some of the heat. It was still oppressive beneath the canopy of leaves, though, and the thick clouds of midges and hoverflies were distracting, making it difficult to breathe. The path through was being cut by the two leaders, with members of the Gate Tribe, augmented by Jack, Dean, and Christy, joining them in widening the path to admit the whole tribe, and more significantly, the mules and carts that contained the majority of the equipment the nomadic tribe carried with them. Fighting off insects as they cut the path took up the vast majority of everybody's concentration. There was also a large degree of noise involved in cutting the path, including that of birds and small mammals disturbed by the party's progress. All of which shouldn't have made it surprising that a large predator would be able to attack them. Mildred and JB were hanging back toward the rear of the caravan, traveling near the wagons and mules. Both sought to keep as much distance between themselves and Margia as possible, something that Gloria had facilitated by keeping her sister at the front of the party near her, and Mildred also wanted to be near Doc. She'd become concerned as they had entered the denser jungle by the way that the insects and humidity had affected the old man's breathing. Doc himself had admitted a similar concern to her, speculating that the strain on his respiratory system imposed by the repeated trawl through time and the effect on his physiology had left him with a lower tolerance than he would have wished. So Doc was traveling at the back of the caravan, occasionally hitching a lift from John and Peter, leading the armory wagon, and pontificating at large with his usual pomp.
Well, Peter, lad, the migratory birds of this region usually... What? Did you hear that?
Oh, What is it?
An odd noise, my boy. Not like the general hubbub. And headed this way.
Which direction?
To the left. John Barrymore!
I hear you, Doc.
JB had already half-turned in the direction of the noise. He unslung his Uzi and eased the action to short bursts. He stopped moving, the better to concentrate.
Incoming! Over to the left! Back of the column, it's... Holy shit!
The thing suddenly heaved into view. It seemed at first to have no shape. Moving rapidly among the foliage, spraying broken stems and flowers before it, it seemed to shift from a vaguely square shape to a long rectangular shadow that loomed forward. It was only when it came fully into the light that they could see that the creature was a mutated bear, its black furry coat dotted with scaled sores and thick scar tissue.
Oh, Jesus!
The eyes were wild and yellow, matched by the large yellowing fangs that protruded from its slavering jaws. It was moving at phenomenal speed. Without pause and in one fluid motion, JB brought the Uzi around and up, leveling the barrel in the area of the beast's chest. His finger tightened on the trigger. The Uzi's bullet seemed to make little mark, thudding harmlessly into the beast's thick fur coat, raising nothing more than dust. One hit a scaly sore, puncturing the crust and causing a little blood and pus to dribble gently down into the already matted fur.
The beast must be armor-plated!
Doc drew his Lamar from beneath his coat and brought it up to take aim. With the attention of the creature focused on JB, Doc had the necessary seconds to take better aim. As the creature reared upright, Doc aimed for the head, discharging both barrels of the Lamar, so that the charge of shot was followed in rapid succession by the ball. The old man had aimed for the thing's gaping maw, trying to tear into the soft tissue and do an endless amount of damage, perhaps even ripping up into the brain. Instead, the shot ripped across the left-hand side of the creature's neck, tearing at the fur and causing gouts of blood to shoot out at the point of impact. Its yellow eyes took on a bloodshot tinge of red, raw anger. The ball fared little better, embedding itself somewhere in the neck fur without seeming to do much damage, except to make the creature angrier. In the time this had taken, the entire caravan had turned to the rear in order to face the menace. Ryan and Gloria had left their positions and were now headed toward the rear, blasters ready. As others took aim and fired, it was obvious that hand blasters were useless against the mutant. Its hide was far too thick, covered in who knew what kind of armored, encrusted skin in those areas where the fur still grew. Ryan had already unslung his Steyr and was raising it as he ran back, skipping between the tribe members who were trying to both meet the menace and avoid getting in one another's way, a problem that was very real in the enclosed space of their hacked path.
JB, I'll draw it. You finish the fucker.
Not pausing to see if the armorer had heard him, Ryan stopped and planted his feet. He raised the Steyr and blocked out everything around. All he could see or hear was the mutie that threatened the column. The one-eyed warrior loosed around, aiming at the side of the creature's head. He knew it would cause no great damage, but he hoped that it would be enough to draw its attention away from the rear of the column and perhaps give his old friend the shot he needed. The bullet drilled into the side of the bear's head, tearing at its ear and making rivulets of blood run down into the fur. It turned toward the source of the irritation, which was exactly what JB needed. The creature was now at an angle to him, its head raised to its full height as it sought the source of the pain amidst the melee in front of it. For an all-important fraction of a second, it was still at the apex of its rise. JB could see the yellowed fangs and the red flesh of the mouth as though they were the only things that existed. In a swift and sinuous movement, he altered his stance so that his blaster was at an oblique angle to the thing. He had reslung the Uzi and now held his M4000, which he aimed at the exposed, vulnerable area. He had one shot, and he had to make it count. The mutie turned by just a fraction in the millisecond between hearing the M4000 explode and feeling the load of flechettes hit home. The bear's open maw suddenly disappeared in a welter of blood, pus, and fur as the load hit home, ripping into the soft flesh of the palate and jaw, splintering bone and pulping tissue, some of the hot metal shooting through to the brain, where it met no resistance. The exit wounds from the wild card of metal and bone exploding inside the brain pan were huge, ripping apart the skull so that it disintegrated in a slow-motion explosion of fur, pus, and bone, showering the immediate area. The bear stood erect, already dead, but without anything to tell it to lie down. It teetered for a moment.
Come on, you bastard! Ha! The bigger they are!
An eerie silence and stillness descended over the party.
Who the hell let that big fucker through? Why wasn't he spotted? Who should have made the call?
Gloria's piercing blue eyes ran over the assembled gate members and Ryan's people. She was scanning to see which of the outriders, scouting the territory on each side and ahead of the path, was responsible.
Shit! Woman down!